It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's Living the Bream with the host of Fox News Sunday, Shannon Bream.
This week on Living the Bream, you know her, you love her. She is back for more. And listen, if you missed the first part of this conversation, you need to go to her podcast first. The one and only Janice Dean is here.
I think this is a great idea that we do a part one and part two of these podcasts because we promote each other.
Yeah, which we're all about doing.
Yes, we are.
Girl power. Okay, so Janice is a world-renowned meteorologist, the only one my mom will listen to, as established in part one of this conversation.
Got to give a shout out to Marie.
She is a New York Times bestseller. She is an advocate and a warrior. And she does all kinds of things. And I'm so glad you're on Living the Bream.
And I'm your bestie.
Yeah. Did you say breasty? I don't know. Okay.
We're either going to cut that out or we're going to keep it in.
No, I think we might keep it. I think we might keep it. Okay. So part one of this conversation was on The Dean's List, which is your runaway success new podcast. How much fun are you having doing that?
It is my favorite thing to do.
Aww.
And honestly, you know how much I love Fox and Friends, mm-hmm. and I love doing the weather. I love doing the Dean's List. But this is something that I really feel I was meant to do. I started out in radio 30-something mm-hmm. years ago, and I just love the podcast. I love the fact that it's coming back because for so many years it was like, radio is dead, radio is dying, it's Mm-mm. gone, it's Mm-mm. not here. But the podcast has really brought back this medium of listening to conversations without having a distraction of a visual.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'm grateful for my job, and I get that visual in television is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something very special about listening to conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very intimate. I feel like people can get to know people better
mm-hmm.
With these conversations that don't have to last for 5 minutes. They can go on a little longer. So I feel like I've been wanting to do this my whole life.
And you're so good at it. And as you said, this is not visual. I've got on Spanx right now because we both did TV this morning. I could have taken them off for this. I could be breathing a little better for the radio.
I did take my Spanx off and I feel so free right now.
I love it.
I have to say, I have a love-hate relationship with Spanx.
I do too.
They're important.
They are.
They really change the game.
They change the stomach area for me. And what I always say is that I want there to be like a full body Spanx.
Yeah.
That you can then put a swimsuit over.
Oh.
But it's got to be invisible. Like people can't see you walking around in like a full body stocking with a two-piece over it. Like that's weird. But
it's
they
like
can make an invisible Spanx.
I know, but my Spanx swimsuit would have to go down to my knees.
So that's what I'm saying. It could be like some kind of invisible situation.
Oh, I get it.
And then we put the swimsuit over it and everything's already been kind of flattened and smooth, right? So I don't know.
We've already come up with two very
right,
good inventions.
Exactly, for women over 50. Like, you're going to like all of our inventions that we come up with. Can we talk about swimsuits for a minute?
Yes.
Because I feel like they're either grandma time, you know, which there's nothing wrong with that.
I
but
am
they've
the
got
grandma
like a little
time.
Cute
it's
skirt
okay.
situation. And
the
there's so many like retro styles and all that. Or it's like, I don't
everything
know the right
out.
Word to use, but
no imagination.
Nothing left to the imagination. Like a couple strings and a couple squares of or triangles of material. And I'm like, there's got to be something in between that is like cute, but not slutty.
Yeah. I wear a coverall all the time. Like
I do
a
too.
Moo-moo
I feel like, why do,
most
I spend,
of the time?
Why do I spend money on these swimsuits? Because really, I invest in the super cute cover up that
absolutely.
I mostly keep on. Especially if you're somewhere in public, like a big pool or the beach, everybody's got a phone. I feel like that takes the fun out of the beach.
It does.
Because I don't need people to see all my stuff.
And we don't have enough money for private beaches.
Yes, Janice and I are going to buy an island. And every woman can come there and not wear a cover-up.
That's
and
right.
And there will be no phones.
It's something that I am very aware of. You know, I am still so shy about showing my body. I think mm-hmm. I always have been. I was an overweight kid. You know, at my slimmest, I still felt overweight. I think I probably had, you know.
It's, yeah, the mental
issues.
Thing. I've been there too.
And even though in my 50s, my seasoned 50s, I feel more confident than ever before. Mm-hmm. I still am very shy about that. You know, I give it up to people who are confident enough to wear the squares.
I love it. And like in every size, I will see women who are fuller figured and they are confident
owning it,
loving it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love, please come rub off on me. Give me a little bit of that confidence. People of every size you'll see out there in swimsuits. Some people do the cover up thing. I love a good cover up.
Yep.
And some people are just
I will go in the water with the cover up on.
I love it.
I'm being honest.
But I love to see somebody who, I don't care what their body looks like, but they are having a great time.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would encourage us to think a little bit more like this.
We're going to have to win the lottery to buy the private island.
But can we get to a place where like, listen, I take care of myself. I do the best I can.
Yes.
And no one's going to look like Giselle but Giselle. Yeah. And I'm just going to have fun.
And listen,
I give myself that pep talk every summer.
Look at Giselle, and she's got problems right now.
You
that know, poor lady.
Allegedly, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
there's some trouble in paradise.
That's
I've heard.
What the tabloids are saying. And I've got to be quite honest that being married to a Tom Brady, it must be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And I was really happy for her and their family when he decided to retire.
I know. I think she was too.
Yes. You know, I'm kind of going through with my husband. He's about to retire. I'm really proud of him. I'm so excited for his next chapter. And did he feel the pressure of going back? I mean, I want to know sort of the backstory of that because I really do feel that was probably maybe the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe she was like, why? Why do you need to go back?
I know. Especially if they had really talked through it and she felt like there was a commitment there. Because listen, they're very much in the spotlight, which makes everything trickier.
Yes.
And she has expressed things that sound like some type of frustration. Like, you know, she was a supermodel. She still is. But I mean, actively like traveling the world, you can't do that with what he's doing during football season and have three kids.
Yes.
Which seem precious and at the heart of their family. And so I think she just kind of hit a breaking point. Like, I can't keep managing all this. Because I'm sure when you have a professional athlete who's in season, I've got friends in this, you know, in the baseball world and other things that you got to basically be a single parent during that. But it's, you know, they're doing their part to support the family and live a dream. And you hope that works both ways. That I feel like probably for you too. I mean, in a good marriage, when one is on a roll or has a great opportunity, you want to be supportive. And then that can shift over time that the other one has an opportunity and you move or you do something for them. And from her little public comments that we've had here and there, it seems like she feels frustrated that she feels like she's the one who he gets to go live all of his dreams.
Yeah.
And she's had to put some of her stuff on hold. And I think whether you're male or female, you can probably understand that frustration.
Absolutely. I got to meet him a couple of years ago.
You did. Is he as ugly and untalented in person as I think he is?
Well, it's a funny story because Brian Kilmeade has always wanted to meet Tom Brady face to face.
So you had to do it before him.
Right. It was. I'm so fortunate that I get to go cover the Kentucky Derby every year. So it was at an event. Oh gosh, the Barnstable Brown event that happened. Did you go this year? Did you go to that event?
No, I didn't go to that. I went to the Derby, but we didn't do all that fancy stuff.
Okay, so this is an event that's held before the Derby. A lot of the money raised goes to charity. It's at this incredible mansion. They've done this for many, many years. I've talked to the Barnstable Brown family. It's the two sisters. They used to be the Doublemint twins.
Oh my gosh.
And they started this years ago. And the money goes to charity. And before the event, all sorts of celebrities come. There's musicians that get on stage and play. So it's a really kind of fun celebration in advance of the greatest 2 minutes in sports. And Tom Brady was there. It was the year that they won the Super Bowl, and I'm sure they've won the Super Bowl a few times. And there was whispers that he was coming with his team. Was New England at that time. Was it
right,
New England?
Right, he was Patriots then.
Yes, the Patriots. I'm trying to remember how long ago it was. At any rate.
Yeah, before he joined the Bucs.
So he comes in, he takes a picture, and he's, you know, talking to his buddies and stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go up and I'm going to introduce myself. And my producer, Sam Honig, was there. And I said, listen, if you could get this on camera, because I know he doesn't like to do it. I get it. Like, if he's going to say hi to one person, he's got to say hi to thousands of people.
Well, but he's going to say hi to Gina Steen.
Well,
that's special.
Here's the thing about wearing a fancy hat. You just have this unbelievable confidence.
Right.
And at that moment, I had this beautiful pink dress and this gorgeous pink hat. Shout out to Christine Moore, who is the best in the business.
Did my hat for the Derby this year too.
She is awesome. A New York milliner, small business owner, and really has made her way in the hat business. What is it? It's a milliner. Yes. The milliner business. So I just went right up to him. He didn't know what hit him. And I just put my hand out. I said,
Hurricane Janice.
Tom Brady, Janice Dean from Fox News. I'm a huge fan. Can I get a picture? And before he could even say yes or no, Sam took the picture and he walked away.
And that was it.
Okay, and I have the picture. It's a little bit blurry.
Oh, but listen, he was in movement.
You could tell.
As he often is.
You could tell
he was a little bit shocked. Oh, well, that's what he got. But see, it worked.
It did.
Oh, my gosh. Was Giselle anywhere in sight?
No, she was not.
It was guys' weekend, maybe.
I would love if, listen, Giselle, if you would love to come on Janice Dean podcast or the Live in the Bream podcast.
We'll do a 2-for-1 situation.
It will be a girls' podcast.
Yes, it will.
We'll call it the Giselle podcast.
Do you think we could ever look straight at her? Like, even like she's so beautiful, like we maybe melt in her presence?
You know, I want to talk to her about what it's like being an absolute supermodel. She must have, insecurities like everyone else.
I can't believe that. But yes, every human being probably does have something. My legs are too long. My waist is too trim.
I wish I had that.
I know, like,
legs are too long.
But she's a real person who lives with frustrations of raising kids and having a marriage, especially in the spotlight and that kind of thing. So there's no telling. And I don't, who knows what goes on with them. But I always am pulling for people. Like, I want it to work and want them to figure it out. So if there's any way, I hope that would happen. But also, she probably doesn't eat like us.
No,
we'd have to order some
so.
Special food.
Well, also, we would have a private chef on our private island.
She probably does. I know. She can come. I don't know if she's going to be allowed to come to the private island. You cannot. There's a certain level of, like, once you hit supermodel, you're not allowed on the Shannon Bream Island.
The prerequisite is you have to wear a cover-up
whole
time.
You do. Or the full-body Spanx if we ever get that thing invented, and it's going to happen. What do you think she eats compared to us?
She probably has a personal chef.
But she's probably like very healthy, organic.
And she's
all that
also
good stuff.
Naturally probably like that. Do you know what I mean? I think there are people that are just naturally born
like
that.
She's very athletic too.
Yeah. It's the gene pool.
It's Brazilians. By the way, I spent a summer in Brazil one time.
Really?
I did. When I was in college, I went down there.
Did you appreciate it back then?
Yeah, it was just such a cool, different place to be. But here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh, did you go party in Rio? No, this is a mission trip. So we were like, I have never seen spiders the size of the one that was in my shower in one of the places that we stayed. And there was cold water and not hot water.
Do you think it was like a deadly spider?
I hope not. But I luckily didn't have to find out. But, you know, we were roughing it a little bit. But it was such a great experience because it was totally different than my childhood and growing up in my college years here in the States. I came back and like, wow, let's appreciate everything that we have. We have people here in the States who struggle as well. But that was the first trip where I was like living amongst people that were just in a totally different situation. And they could not have been warmer, more giving, greeting us, opening their arms, and so excited to host us. They were so kind. And I learned enough Portuguese that when I interviewed the president, well, we'll see if he's still a president, but at the time, President Bolsonaro, a couple of years ago, and I busted out my broken Portuguese on him.
How'd it go?
I don't think he was impressed.
No.
But I think he was impressed that I tried.
That's the most important thing.
So I think when you travel the world and go different places, you have those experiences.
It's important. I hope my boys get to do that. And I think every opportunity that you can travel, because I went to Spain in high school as well. And as much as I loved it, I feel like I just didn't appreciate it as I would now, you know, traveling.
Right. I get what you're saying about going.
Because it was
as
like,
a kid.
You know, you're with your girlfriends. Where are we going to have dinner? And why are we on this dumb tour?
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
But now I would appreciate that. And I hope, again, as much as I love my job, that, you know, Sean and I are well enough and, you know, alert enough that we can do some traveling.
Alert enough. Like you're 90.
I know. But you know what I mean?
Wake me up, kids.
I don't want life to just pass me by.
I know.
And I just feel like it's important to sort of balance that, you know, what you do day to day and your kids, but also look at the world and see what it's like outside of your own backyard.
Yeah, and that's what that trip did for me. Woke me up at like, I didn't think I grew up with much. You know, it was a very modest childhood for me. But then when you travel around the world and see like, oh my goodness, we have so many natural blessings in this country with our freedom and with our opportunity and with our education. But to see people that didn't, in many of the people that I visited in Brazil, didn't have those same opportunities, but were joyous about life. it was a good reminder to me, like, there's joy in everything, in the simple things, in the kindness of sharing a meal, of opening your home, whatever you have, and just being fellowshipping with other people and connecting across cultural barriers and just appreciating each other as human beings.
Yeah. I think, too, what I notice every day, Dagan and McDowell and I had a conversation about this, is just looking for it. You have to look for it sometimes. And then when something happens, and it can be just a moment of a smile, someone giving you a smile, a text from your buddy, just going, you know what, this is a really nice moment. I'm just going to take this in for a moment, you know?
We'll have more Live in the Bream in a moment.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Where is somewhere in the world you'd like to go? Either you've been there or you haven't. Somewhere you like to travel.
You know, friends of ours went to Greece.
Oh, that's on my list.
And came back and said it was absolutely spectacular. I really feel like pictures probably don't do it justice.
It looks gorgeous.
I'd love to go to Ireland. I'd love to go to Scotland. I've been to Paris. I've been to London. Grew up in Canada, but also feel like I would love to explore Canada more, too, because there's so much beauty in my homeland. I'd love to travel across the U.S. I'd love to do all 50 states. I actually pitched that as an idea for my 50th birthday for Fox and Friends to go to all 50 states.
I love it.
In an RV.
Oh, my gosh. I'm coming.
Right?
If you do that.
Well, maybe we should pitch that.
Please.
But how would you do Fox News Sunday?
Well, I would fly back to Washington on Saturdays. And then I would rejoin you on the road on Mondays.
Oh, my gosh. I lived like a Thelma and Louise thing.
Yes.
We wouldn't go
without the going over the cliff part.
We might have spoiled the movie.
Sorry. If you haven't seen it, it's what, 30 years old now? Sorry, we can't help you now. Oh my gosh, there are so many. And listen, you live in New York. I live in Washington. Whenever I get out of the kind of that bubble and go and spend time with my family and my friends across the country, it is so much fun.
It is.
Like going to the little hot dog stand in town or where they make homemade ice cream or going to a rodeo or, I mean, this country is so amazing. No matter what you're interested in or things you don't even know if you're interested, there's something for everybody out there. And I think the more that we get out of our big cities, it's really fun.
I think we need to sell that. The RV. JD Shannon Bream
RV
road trip.
I love it. It's
right?
happening. It is happening.
People would tune into that, right?
We hope. Hint, hint.
But, you know, we could do little things in each town, in each city, in every state.
Tell us. You could tell us when we're coming there, like what we should go see.
Holy moly.
The thing is, like, okay, for you in Canada, you're going to understand it and appreciate it in a different way because you grew up there and it's your homeland. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, Florida is that way. People think it's all, like, South Beach and Disney World and, like, those things are so fun and wonderful, but there's so much else there.
Like, give me something.
Florida's very agricultural. I mean, there are like cattle farms and of course the citrus industry. Like there's so many fun things, but I grew up going to these weird things that if you're from Florida, you will know these things. Like Weekiwachee is a little park that has got natural springs and they've got these women who wear like the mermaid things and underwater, they
like
do like shows and stuff. Like it's Spanx, mermaid Spanx. But they do shows from underwater and they have ways that they go and get like little air out of tubes and stuff. But when you're a kid and you're standing, you're watching in front of the tank and you're seeing these women swimming around, like you believe there are mermaids.
Yeah.
And Cypress Gardens, where they have these amazing water ski shows where people build pyramids and jump off of stuff like on water skis. And just like there are hokey things about Florida like that are like so local and fun. So I don't know. Maybe we got to get that RV.
I think that
Will they let us in Canada? Will they let us come there?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, with you on board, you're like a national celebrity.
Yeah, you're fine. No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Not anymore.
Yes, you are, my friend. Okay, can we talk about how, because I think this is important. Like you are such a warrior. We've talked about on part one, we talked about some things like fighting for your healthcare and for your answers and things that you need. But you are fighting for other answers. And so you have made a lot of headlines in getting into this fight about getting answers from the Cuomo administration about what was going on during COVID. I know you've worked with lawmakers. You've testified on Capitol Hill. Where are you in getting those answers? And do you think you ever will?
I do. I think we will get those answers. I've had conversations with lawmakers who want to make that happen, and I'm believing them. I'm disappointed in Kathy Hochul. She had a meeting with us a year ago. It was a year ago this month. Some of the family members, including myself and my husband, in a room, and she was very empathetic. She told us she was going to try to help us get answers. And I came out of that meeting feeling like she wanted to do that, and she's done nothing.
Well, and again, again, so to recap, you lost both of your in-laws very early on in the pandemic. They were placed into care facilities, long-term and nursing care facilities, where this was an exceptionally dangerous thing, where people who were testing positive for COVID were placed back in those facilities.
9,000 of them.
Yeah, and there was an order at some point here in New York.
For 46 days.
That's what people were being instructed to do. There's a lot we didn't know at the beginning.
Yes.
So people were following these orders. And so your hope is to find out the genesis of that order to try to hold someone responsible. So you felt like Governor Hochul was open to that idea.
At the time, I thought she was. And she has promised a blue ribbon panel at some point to go back and look at what happened during COVID. But I guess I just don't believe her. Her words are empty right now. And I had a lot of hope for her. I mean, listen, at the very beginning, if Andrew Cuomo had come out and said, I made a terrible mistake, oh my gosh, I'll spend the rest of my career trying to right this wrong. If he had met with families and said, you know, I thought it would be safe. I didn't want the hospitals to be overrun, but he had options. He had the comfort ship. He had the Javits Center. He had thousands of beds that he never used. And I think the beginning of it is finding out the origin of where that March 25th order came from. Who wrote that? Who wrote saying you cannot deny a patient into a nursing home and you could not test them? You know, there were no tests at the time. And then not telling the family members, you know, I do storms, right? That's my gig. And my job is to warn as many people in advance when a storm is coming and to prepare them. And if they need to get out to evacuate, why didn't he give us a heads up to take our loved ones or make preparations? We're not warned in advance, and there should be an after action review, and there hasn't been. And it's not only New York. There are several other states that did exactly the same thing, and their order is very similar. So without saying too much, there are things in the works that I believe will bring us justice with or without the help of lawmakers.
So when people get on Twitter and say, hey, stick to the weather, whenever I see those, I'm just waiting because I'm like, you don't know who you've just unleashed.
You know, and that brings up a dialogue about social media, because is it better to ignore or is it better to shine a light on some of the really terrible things that people say to one another? You know, you
and
can
kind of pick and choose,
I suppose. I never used to block people, but some of the stuff that they say, you would never, ever say to a person, a human being.
I love the mute button because then they don't know.
Yes, that's true.
And they can keep just spewing whatever they're spewing.
But then there's a time where I'm like, I have to shine a light on some of these people because it's bullying behavior. It really is. And they're not only bullying me, they're also bullying my family and other people that went through similar situations. So I think I struggle with it. Some days I'm like,
I know.
And then others, I'm like, I have to try to ignore this.
I know. And finding that balance is hard because sometimes I say to myself, I don't know these people. They don't know me. Like, why am I going to give them any piece of my emotional bandwidth? But there are sometimes when they're just absolutely nasty or false. And I think sometimes that deserves a nice, friendly response.
Sometimes.
Pointed.
Right. I try not to throw it back into the gutter.
Right.
I'll just say, that's incorrect. Have a nice day.
Right, exactly. So what is the deal with sometimes when Twitter, well, I've seen you tag things or you retweet things where Twitter's like, is this about the weather?
I don't know.
That's so strange to me. Like, is it because your bio says you're a meteorologist? Like, is there someone sitting around at Twitter reading all of Janice Dean's tweets and saying like, this is not about the weather?
Right. And they actually people, is this tweet about the weather? And you actually hit yes or no. So,
but why does
do they do that to, like, do they do that to sports people?
Is this tweet about the sports?
I don't know. I would really love to hear from Twitter.
That's just such a weird thing when I see that happen. I'm like, is that automated or is there a person sitting around reading tweets and saying like, oh, because she's a meteorologist, she can only talk about the weather.
Right. Same with you. Like, is this about the Supreme Court?
Right. Probably not, because I'm talking about snacks most of the time. Snacks and makeup.
There are a lot of things but the one thing about Twitter is it did allow me to have a platform during
that time. Oh, you're definitely good.
Yes. I don't know that I would have had it would have resonated as much without social media, because I kind of found an army of people either going through the same thing or wanting to find out answers.
Yeah.
So I will take the, is this tweet about the weather, for all of the good stuff it did bring.
Yeah, and it still does. Like you recently were talking about, and we had talked about this offline, this ridiculous battle that you were having to get the medication that you need for MS.
Yeah.
What in the world?
I've been diagnosed since 2005. I have never had a problem trying to get my medication. Mm-hmm. And I'm on something new. I've been on it for probably almost 2 years now. So it's an infusion that I go to every 6 months. It takes place in a hospital setting because it's not just a drug. They have to overlap it with other drugs mm-hmm. to, you
monitor
know, counteract
you. Yeah.
Some of the, like I'm on a bunch of Benadryl because I guess mm-hmm. it can have an allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. So I have to be monitored by a nurse for 6 hours. So it's not just here is your meds. You can just mm-hmm. take it and leave. It's a real ordeal. Mm-hmm. And so I got the paperwork saying, okay, no problem. We will send the medication to your doctor's office and no, everything's fine. And then I got a call from the specialty pharmacy saying, oh, we're not going to cover that anymore. We're going to see if you can do an off-brand drug. And mm-hmm. my doctor won't do an off-brand drug. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, long story short, I was on the phone probably that week for about 7-8 hours.
I mean, and part of that, you were visiting with me.
Yes.
And I felt so bad for you that you were having to deal with, like we talked about, stress is not good for MS.
It's
not good for anybody. But the fact that you're wasting hours and hours and hours and have the ability to kind of navigate this thing where a lot of people would just give up. And we think that's the point with some of this.
I really
do. They just give up.
And that's one of the things I'm trying to get the bottom of in the upcoming Janice Dean podcast. I have a guest that's going to come on to tell us how to navigate this. I think it's gotten worse. I think there's an mm-hmm. issue here. Because when I put that on social media, I got all sorts of responses,
yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not just me. It's loved ones that are fighting for, you know, cancer drugs, life-saving drugs. You know, what if this is life or death and mm-hmm. this person is on the phone for 8 hours and finally says, you know what, I give up.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an option. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to continue to dig. I finally did get the drug mm-hmm. After being hours on the phone. You know, and the other thing is every time you call, it's a new operator.
Right, you gotta start the story
all over again. And they're going through files. And the one fella I got who was on the phone with me for several hours who looked through all of the notes and he was like, this is a mess. This uh-huh. is a mess. So what rights do we have as patients? That's what mm-hmm. I want to know. I ended up calling Fox, our benefits mm-hmm. people, and saying, here's the deal. And they went to bat for me.
That's good.
So, you know, my advice is if you're with a good company.
If your insurance is through your employer.
Yes, that's an option for you. Then I also found out another option is actually going to the people that make the medicine.
Mm-hmm. The drug company.
The drug company. Mm-hmm. And they have programs that will, you know, cut the cost by 95%.
Wow.
Yeah, the drugs that I'm on, Shannon, $30,000 a session.
Twice a year.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It
is.
And
so many people have that story.
Mm-hmm.
And
now more than ever.
And that's probably why people will get a no or they'll get resistance from a company that doesn't want to pay for it.
Or generic.
Right.
And a lot of us can't do the generic.
Mm-hmm. So it's a fight. So you're a fighter, my friend.
I'm going to keep fighting and we're going to have more details. It's a story that I think needs to be, you know, we need to shine a light on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening to millions of Americans. And it's not right. We'll probably lose people because they can't.
They give up.
They do give up.
We'll have more Live in the Bream in a moment. Okay, now, to lighten things up,
yes.
I want to talk about how we dealt with this when you were with me. Because am I the world's worst host?
Right,
Janice is staying at my house.
You have a room called the Janice
Dean
bedroom.
I do, the Janice Dean
bedroom.
Suite. And yeah. anybody else who stays in there, I'm sorry, it is still called Janice Dean Suite.
Good.
But this is how I fed Janice at my house. We go out to dinner for every meal. Sheldon wasn't home that weekend, and he's the one who cooks. He's really good
delicious.
Cook.
Delicious.
And then we decided to watch the Elvis movie.
Yes.
Which people have very strong opinions on, by the way.
I enjoyed it very much.
I thought it was fun. But
yeah.
I knew going into it, it's Baz Luhrmann. It's a little bit out there.
Out there. And it's not a happy ending.
It is not. And I fed you popcorn and root beer for dinner.
And chocolate chip cookies.
And chocolate
cookies.
Chip cookies. Is that the worst
How
host
is that
ever?
The worst host ever? It's the best host ever. I always have fond memories of our get-togethers, our girls' weekends. But that's the best is when
I
you
know,
don't.
We did. In our
you
jammies.
Watch a movie in your jammies.
with Biscuit Bream staring at you, my dog who Biscuit would not Bream stop staring at Janice
is the
all weekend.
Best. I just love spending time with you just because the thing I remember the most is obviously the snacks, yes. But we laugh so much.
We do. We have a good time.
It really is. I just think it's one of my favorite things
well,
to do.
Well, as you said, we like to be each other's cheerleaders and supporters. It's girl power.
Yeah.
So please tell me before you go about your new book.
Oh, my goodness.
How have we not talked about that yet?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of... Well, by the time this... We talk about... Okay, so by the time this airs, we will have already shown the cover on Fox and Friends.
So can we talk about it?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Okay.
It's called I Am the Storm.
And you are.
And it's about people who overcome the odds to try to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of different stories.
Yes. So obviously I do write about what happened during COVID, losing my husband's parents and wanting accountability mm-hmm. and justice for them. I talked to Ron Kim, who was an assemblyman who also had a loved one die in a nursing home and, it, you know, is a Democrat and went against his party and to try to find answers. I also talked to Lindsay Boylan and Charlotte Bennett, two of the women that you know, bravely stood up and said they were abused by Governor Cuomo. And then, obviously, that's a part of the book, but the rest of the book is about stories of one person making a difference, right? There's a story of a nurse that came from Georgia early on in the pandemic when, you know, they didn't know anything about the disease and risked their lives to come and help people.
Total hero.
She was and is a hero. I talk about Ray Pfeiffer, my friend, firefighter, who went to Capitol Hill when he was dying of cancer, 9/11 related cancer, and you know, on his dying days trying to get the Zadroga bill passed for his fellow firefighters and first responders to have health care after digging at 9/11 and dying of these illnesses. I talked to a woman, her family, who had who got pregnant and was told that her baby would not live, but decided that it was important to do everything they could to try and give that baby a chance. That baby now is, I think, 5 or 6 years old,
aww,
and his name is David, named aww, after David and Goliath.
I love that.
So those are just some of the stories. You know, it was... I started writing the book when I was in a place of anger, mm-hmm, and I finished up the book knowing that you really can step into the arena and people will rise up and help you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are the perfect example of that. I'm so glad you joined us for part two of our conversation.
Yay!
On Living the Bream. Thank you, JD. Love you.
I love you too, my friend.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.